It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in all over North America, wherever you might be. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Whether you're in your car, you're at home, you're at work, I don't know, do people still go to school? I guess maybe you're at school. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Thank you for being here. Maybe you're in the back of an Uber. You got a smart Uber driver. Your Uber driver, your Lyft driver is a genius, okay? Make sure you give him a good tip for listening to the show. All right, I get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can tune in on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Yeah, go ahead. Just don't pull it up if you're driving. That's dangerous. You can also listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, you got some money, you're paying for that, or you got a free preview, it's channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, Google, Alexa, whatever the heck it's called, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. You don't even have to lift a finger. We've had a busy 24 hours. Last night, the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup. They beat the Edmonton Oilers. They beat them last year. Damn, it must suck to be beat by the same team twice. Hey, the Los Angeles Lakers, they got sold to the tune of $10 billion. Tyrese Halliburton, we learned that he's a game-time decision for tomorrow. Caitlin Clark was getting knocked around last night, and a couple of teammates helped to fight back, which is nice. Jair Alexander, he's the newest member, God bless him, of the Baltimore Ravens. The Rays might get sold. People are talking about Memphis being a bad sports city. Athletes don't want to go, like Jimmy Butler. And then I gave you a top six list. Every Wednesday, I give you a new top six list. And today, I want to take a look at the top sports cities in the United States of America. Simple. Real simple. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Now, Stephen A. Smith helped prompt this list. He talked about how bad of a city Memphis is and players don't want to go there. A matter of fact, listen to what Stephen A. Smith had to say about the city of Memphis and attracting basketball talent.
The people in Memphis is a great sports town, great fans, great people. Yeah. But there's an element there where cats like Jimmy Butler and others don't feel it's the safest environment. I'm talking to the local authorities in Memphis. You got to clean some of that stuff up because it's dissuasive to NBA players. They have talked about it. I know they've told me.
Oh, okay. Now, I didn't want to dump on the city of Memphis. Why would I? Shout outs to everybody in Memphis. That and I like Young Dolph. I like Key Glock. But anyway, it's a top six list of the best sports cities, the top sports cities in the United States of America. I gave you this list last hour. If you missed it, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. And number six, I gave you Pittsburgh. And number five, I gave you Los Angeles. And number four, I gave you Chicago. Number three, I gave you Philly. Number two, I gave you New York City. And number one, I gave you Boston. Now, I looked at these cities. I thought about championships. I thought about fans. I thought about the fan bases. I thought about the city and the sports culture. What do they attract? What goes on, you know, outside of the sports? Like, I think Boston takes the cake. I looked at superstars that have represented the city. Boston is number one on my list. I want you to hear this from Kevin Garnett. He talked about when he was with the Celtics, they wouldn't even let him go outside and pump his own gas. He talked about kids coming up to his front yard. He's like, I live here. And they're like, yeah, but we just saying hi. We live down the block. Listen to Kevin Garnett tell Paul Pierce about the love that he got in Boston.
I can't even explain this. It feels like college. Yeah, I've been sure. On a college trip with my daughter lately, yeah. Whatever. So the love that you get from this town, dog, feels so intimate in every part. So where you go,
yeah.
You go to Red Sox, see a game, man, it's when they call that title town, and it's all energy. That's, man, it truly is. I can't even put it into words, yeah. But it's kind of like what Pete said, man. The relationships and the people you meet up there is really what you miss, because they make your everyday so dope. it's a lot of love. And yeah, I had never experienced that. You know, Minnesota showed me a ton of love, but yeah, not like this.
888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. What are some of the best sports cities in the United States of America? You know, we had a caller call up. He represented Tampa. He's from Tampa. God bless him. I'm not mad at him. And somebody called and talked about Dallas. Botcher had mentioned Dallas, a matter of fact. And now let's get some more of your calls. 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Paige. Paige is calling from Colorado. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Paige?
How you doing, JR?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, man. I want to first and foremost thank you, man, for a beautiful spread every afternoon for my drive home. And I listen to you. I'm a first-time caller, but I listen to you every time I can get you. You are so logical about your thoughts, how you go about breaking things down. You give everybody a little bit of cred. It doesn't matter who they are. You just don't throw out nastiness and negativity like Stephen A. So thank you for just being an upfront, great dude. I want to tell you that first and foremost. And your show is awesome, man, every night.
Well, thank you, Paige.
You're quite welcome, sir. The other thing I want to say about New York City, I'm not from New York City. I'm actually born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay.
Oh boy.
I left Memphis at 17 years old, started my journey. I'm 67 years old. I've been in Colorado for over 35 years, Colorado Springs. I love Colorado. I go back to Memphis. I got family there. Yeah, there's some problems in Memphis, but there's pretty much across America, unless you live in rural America. And then there's problems in rural America.
Yeah.
So Stephen A needs to stop all that, you know, and let these players make their mind up if they want to go and play in Memphis. New York City, in my opinion, is the best sports town because I lived there too as a young man in my 20s, and I can go anywhere on any block and catch anything sports. So shout out to New York for all of that. But shout out to UJR for bringing it every night. Keep up the good work, man. You bum diggity, bro.
Oh, thank you so much, Paige, for calling from Colorado. Yeah, we're gonna take those nice, kind words that he said, and we're gonna throw that in the drop rotation. Thank you so much. And he's right. I didn't even factor that in when it comes down to New York. Like, you think about the population density. You literally can walk down the block, and let's say you're in Manhattan or you're in Brooklyn, and it's just basketball courts everywhere. And sometimes, I mean, in New York City specific, you can walk down a block and watch some pros play. I mean, not so much recently. I think these guys are so full of themselves. But I remember years ago, I was walking down West 4th Street in New York City. I'm like, what the hell is a commotion? It's like a Wednesday afternoon. And Brandon Jennings, former NBA player, he's out there balling around. And even prior to that, there would be more players that just pop up and play in a cage. Guys playing up in Rucker Park. Man, growing up in New York, Manny Ramirez, yeah, he's older at the time, playing in the Bronx. And you could just go anywhere and see high-end talent or just a great competitive game or match. And that is a great part of New York City sports culture. So I give Paige credit for bringing that up. That wasn't anything that was top of mind. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're talking about some of the best sports cities in the United States of America. And I know Canada got them. Y'all got them too. Talking about the USA right now. No disrespect to my people in Toronto. Mason is calling from San Diego. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Mason, what's up?
What up, JR? Hey, real quick before I even start into my little rant, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. I was a truck driver for about 2 or 3 years, and I was driving everywhere. But the one thing that kept me going was listening when you came on. I was like, oh, yeah, I could ride all night. That was back in the day when it was you and Shep. But it doesn't matter because you are OG, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Mason. I like San Diego, too, so I like you, too. Thank you.
All right, cool. Now, this is about to get a little ironic because I'm from San Diego, but okay. I lived in Oakland for 7 years. I'm a Raider fan.
Oh, boy.
Hey, man, it should be out that you left Oakland off the list, but then I got that you were talking about the today.
Yeah,
because
man.
When I lived up there, it was tough, man. Oakland was rolling up there. when the Raiders was rolling and the A's with the Bash Brothers and stuff like that.
You know,
and that town was rabid. They were rabid.
Yeah.
But you got to give them. You have to give them like a good product. They were rabid fans. So
you know,
it hurt me that they got that they wasn't on the list. And then also hurt me that Boston was number one. Boston, Tom Brady, that first Super Bowl, the Tuck Rule. Do you remember that?
I do. Well, listen, I don't like Tom Brady, so. Well, I ain't got no personal problem with him. I just don't like him. I'm glad he's retired. But you're right.
Yeah, claim to fame. Well,
Mason,
after that, everything that happened after that, I can give him credit for.
Mason,
but come on, forget
Tom Brady. Enough of him. You are 100% correct about Oakland. And I say I love a lot. I do, and I do love a lot of cities. I feel fortunate to have seen a lot of America. And Oakland is a place that I love, and it really sucks to say RIP to the sports scene in Oakland.
Yeah,
because it's dead.
Sad. It is sad.
It's dead. They took the Warriors and moved them over to Bay to San Francisco. The Raiders are gone in Las Vegas. The baseball team is sleeping on Sacramento's couch. They're going to go out to Las Vegas, too. It's bad.
Bro.
You got to queue up a Young Jeezy RIP because that's the sports scene in Oakland right now. It's bad.
Yeah. It's tough. Hey, JR, but hey, really, love and appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mason. You call me anytime, all right?
Oh, yeah. You think I won't? Please, brother. I appreciate you. Big time.
Shout outs to Mason for calling from San Diego. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're talking about the best, the top sports cities in the United States of America. Mike is calling from Chicago. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Mike, what's up?
Hey, JR, you're the best, man. I bet if we could sit down and have a drink, or not even have a drink, just a Coca-Cola, whatever, and we could probably discuss the world, and we'd agree on stuff that's going on. It's crazy in the world. But anyway,
probably
topic for another day. Ex-Air Force guy here, 24 years. I'm a veteran. I did 24 years in the military. I've traveled all over the country, all over the world, actually.
Thank you.
I was all over the U.S. I went to a lot of games. I've been in, up and down the coast of California. I've been on the East Coast. You know what? I think to say what city has the best sports fans is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a hard question. I would break it down like this, JR. I'm a diehard Chicago fan, period. Now, a lot of Chicago fans would say you can't do that. I'm a White Sox and a Cub fan. The reason is my father was from the South Side. My dad was from the South Side of Chicago, and my mom was from the North Side. So my dad took me to all the White Sox games. My White Sox are number one on my list for being a baseball fan. Cubs are number two, but my grandpa and my uncle would take me to Cub games. So I was kind of tore apart like taffy. You know what I mean? But the thing is, Bears, I think the Chicago Bears, because of McCaskey family since 1985, has driven that team.
Uh-oh.
Vinici and all them, they kind of, we carried the Bears into the early 90s. They were still a respectable team. They were decent. They were good. They still had the Super Bowl hangover, but they had all the players, and the roster was pretty much together. They were good up until the early 90s. And after that, the McCaskey family's tread of disgust and disaster that took a storied franchise and turned it into the ground. And I think, JR, what we should do is have another show where you break down who has the best baseball fans, who has the best hockey fans, who has the best hockey fans, who has the best football fans. You know what I'm saying?
That's tough.
Because, it would be. But I will tell you this. Yeah. I think the Packers, I hate to say this, this is coming from a Bears fan, but I got to give it to Green Bay. I think in the last 30 years, and probably before that, they were loyal, but I think the Bears up until about 1985, 1990, were right there with the Packers for the best football fans in the United States. But the Packer fans are the most loyal. You ever go to a Packer game, and I did in the mid-80s, I've had beer bottles thrown at me.
It
was bad. It was bad. But they're loyal, man. It's like a college atmosphere over there, and they love that team.
Let me tell you, Mike. I've been to both Wrigley, and I've done some work. Years ago, I did some work with the White Sox. So I've actually – they let me hold – they treated me very nice, and I hosted an event for the Chicago White Sox. They let me hold the commissioner's trophy. They had me in the locker room. It's very nice. So I feel a little bit closer to the White Sox than I do to the Cubs, but I've had a chance to go to both. And I don't know. I agree with you. And Chicago is a great sports town. It's amazing. That's why I had them at number four on my list. But I wasn't specifically referring to the fans. I was thinking more so about the cities, the success, the fan bases, the sports culture, some of the events that they attract outside of the big ones. So Chicago, without a doubt, is high on the list.
Do you think the so Wrigley Field, though, here's what I would say.
Okay, go ahead.
The Green Bay Packers are to football as what the Cubs are to baseball, because you have two iconic stadiums. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, Fenway Park, my heart goes out to Boston. I love Boston. It's a beautiful city.
Dump.
Well, it's a dump, but I mean, it's still a historical field. You can't, they took down the old Comiskey Park, which was historic. It was the oldest ballpark until they tore it down. But my whole thing, say is that the White Sox are nowhere near the Cubs fan base have the fan base that the Cubs have.
We know that, Mike. And Mike, I got to get
108 of a drought. 108 years.
I got to get to somebody else too. Yeah, 108 years. We talked about it. Gap. No, there's no comparison between comparison between White Sox and Cubs. We get that. Hey, Mike, thank you for calling from Chicago.
JR,
appreciate
thank you, my friend, and thank you so much, man.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Mike, for calling from Chicago. Like, we know that. That's like saying there's any comparison between the fandom of the Lakers and, I don't know, the Lakers, who got sold for $10 billion today. None. Speaking of Los Angeles, 888-710-4ISN. Rick is calling from California. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Rick?
Hey, hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time. Obviously, I want to make a case for LA being at minimum top three.
I had them at number five. That wasn't good. That sucked.
No, I think they should be number one. But not only for the professional sports, but the college sports. You know, you got the third professional college
UCLA,
football team, USC. You got the football clubs that are popping up. You got all these alternative sports, too. So I think just looking at the major three, that is a good metric. But, college sports, alternative sports, other things going
right.
on.
So you mean them guys that are skateboarding on Venice Beach? I got to count those guys, too?
Okay. The X Games, right? I mean, it's still sport. I can't do it. I mean,
you never got on it. I know you tried getting on a skateboard. How'd it work out?
Yeah. Once, and I busted and I'd never again.
Yeah, I get it, Rick. Good concepts, man. I agree with you. You can't go through L.A. It doesn't matter. I mean, you could literally roll through, the Sunset Boulevard and drive by, UCLA, and it's just there's so much out there, Rick. Good point, and shout-outs to you for showing love to the skateboarders, okay?
Thank you.
All right, shout-outs to Rick for calling from California. That's great. Yeah, you think about it. I didn't think about that. No disrespect to the skateboarder. Shout outs to I haven't seen this guy in so long. Theotis Beasley. Theotis Beasley tried to teach me how to ride a skateboard at Mountain Dew? Uh-oh, somebody's going to be mad at me. I think it was the Dew Tour in Ocean City, Maryland. Theotis Beasley tried to teach me how to ride a skateboard. This is, I don't even know how many years ago. Damn, it might be like 15 years ago. I had a great time in Ocean City, Maryland. I need to make a trip. I need to just, as long as I could take a plane out there, man, that drive sucked. Botch, you ever been out to Ocean City?
Oh, I used to be my family's vacation spot.
Oh,
for the summer.
It was, in Maryland?
Yeah.
I hated driving out there. Hated it.
We would go for about a weekend or so, just chill on the beach. I was big on the mini golf as a kid. So we'd go to all the different mini golf courses they have there.
Oh, you bet it, man. I went out there and went to the club. Okay.
Oh, I was like nine. So.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was older than that. No, they got a club out there. It's like a beach club. I like that club, man. Beach wasn't bad.
The beach was nice, too.
How did you get out there? You had to drive hours and hours and hours.
It was like six-ish hours.
From where?
New York.
Oh, my God.
You guys got to avoid the traffic going down. Like, it wasn't actually Maryland that was the issue. I think it was Virginia.
One way in and one way out. It's like you're sitting out in the middle of the ocean on that beach. You got one way in and one way out. If Ocean City, Maryland had a way I could snap my fingers and be there, I'd do it. But just driving into the ocean to sit on a beach, I think I'm past that. I'd sit in my backyard and have a smoke. A cigar. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, I'm going to talk about another sports city. I think they're on the up and up. Well, one team might be going down, one team might be going up. I'm talking about Indianapolis. I'll get some more of your calls as well if you want to holler at me. I'm going to talk about Caitlin Clark. We'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, we're talking about some, well, we were talking about some of the top sports cities in America right now. I had Boston at number one on the list. And we got a city, it's certainly garnered a lot of attention. Dallas is on the up and up right now in a lot of ways, especially now with Cooper Flagg on the incoming. And then you can't discount Indianapolis. And I know right now, not all that good. Tyrese Halliburton is dealing with a little bit of a leg issue, got the calf going on. He's a game time decision for tomorrow. But the Indiana Pacers did get to the NBA Finals, and this is a big deal. Now, this is something they haven't done in about a quarter century. Listen to Tyrese Halliburton first talk about playing tomorrow and how difficult of a decision it is or is not. Listen to this.
I have a lot of trust in our medical staff. I have a lot of trust in our organization to make the right decision. I think there's been many situations through the course of my career where they've trusted me on my body. I'm questionable from time to time throughout the course of the season, and they trust me to make the right decision on my body when the power is in my hands. And, I'm going to try my best to do that. But, I mean, you understand, I want to be out there, and, you know, that's the plan.
It goes without saying maybe, but if this was regular season, would you even think about playing? And does it feel like something that would keep you out for a week or 2 weeks?
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, that would probably be the case. But we're not in the regular season, so it is what it is.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. The NBA Finals could end tomorrow with Oklahoma City winning and Tyrese Halliburton. Well, I'm not going to say the guy's going to be on the bench, but he's obviously hobbled. Unless this is one of the greatest ruses or he has one of the biggest comebacks that we've ever seen. I think it's going to be curtains for the Indiana Pacers tomorrow. And God bless them. If they can go out there and force a Game 7 in Oklahoma City, man, they deserve all the credit in the world. But one thing that we've seen a lot, because we have the ascension of Tyrese Halliburton and his profile in the NBA, is the NBA players, a handful of them, called him the most overrated guy in the league. And he went to an NBA Finals. How overrated is that? He's knocked down some of the biggest shots that we've seen in the NBA playoffs. How overrated is that? His profile has been raised. And this was a guy, and he didn't get a lot of burn last year. He went to the Olympics. He won himself a gold medal. He had to sit next to Jason Tatum on the bench, but you get what I'm saying. Without a shadow of a doubt, he has to share the city. I feel like I'm being disrespectful by even saying this. He's in the same city as Caitlin Clark, and she's only been there a year. Yeah, things are moving basketball-wise in Indianapolis. It's a basketball hotbed. Man, I've been out there too. They got whole campuses outside the city just devoted to people playing basketball. I'm talking about you go to I can't even call it an empty lot. You go to acres upon acres, and it's just like it's basketball being played all damn day long. It's like everybody in a city, in a county, just playing ball. But anyway, Caitlin Clark, we know she's the star. Forget the NBA. Forget the WNBA. She's one of the biggest basketball stars in the United States of America. We know she just came back from her leg injury. And last night, her team, the Indiana Fever, beat the Connecticut Sun 88-71. But people ain't talking about that from last night. Caitlin Clark has been knocked around and bullied verbally from the minute that she got into the WNBA, including physically. Last night was no different. She got poked in the eye in the third quarter. She got then pushed to the ground. Later on in the game, Sophie Cunningham, her teammate, ended up grabbing another lady by the back of the head when she went to the basket. We had people ejected. And I'm like, damn it, somebody finally stood up for Caitlin Clark. And last night, well, Caitlin Clark was finally had enough. Well, first, listen to the incident where she got poked in the eye, then she got shoved to the ground, and nobody got ejected. Listen to this from the WNBA.
I mean, is that displacement? I think it is.
Oh, and Marina Mabry's going to get ejected. If the officials saw that, Marina Mabry is going to get ejected.
Well, they're
going to
go and look at it. Look at Mabry. She's got a scar on one side, a scratch on one side of her face, a scratch on the other side. It's not from the game today. I asked her about it. She's always in the mix. There's a lot of contact here. There's a scrape across the face. That's what Clark didn't like. And then Mabry came in with a bump.
And Mabry's day is almost assuredly going to be done.
Yeah, it's a big bump to just put somebody on there. Is he put her on her back? I mean, there was some get back later on. After the game, Caitlin Clark was asked about getting knocked to the ground, the technical, the referees, and Caitlin Clark is like, man, I don't want to talk about this. I talk to me about basketball, damn.
Yeah, well, I mean, that, you guys came for basketball.
Yeah,
let's
talk
about basketball.
Yeah.
Come on now.
What do you think of just how you all were able to pull away in the second half, Caitlin, in particular?
We're going to the Commissioner Cup Championship.
Let's
That's
go!
Pretty exciting. You all want to talk about that? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, but Caitlin Clark getting knocked on her ass and getting a technical, that's a part of the basketball game. They didn't ask her what she had for breakfast or lunch or what outfit she was wearing. They asked her about the basketball. That's part of the game. I hope this isn't the start of a turn. Caitlin Clark typically doesn't say anything. Keeps it status quo, doesn't do anything. And maybe just last night a little personality, but I hope this is not some type of a heel turn. Leave that to the refs. Like her coach, Stephanie White, she was not a fan of the referees. Let's put it that way.
What explanation were you given for the tech that you got?
I'll take the official questions. There wasn't an explanation for the tech that she got. You know, I think it was pretty obvious that stuff was brewing, right? When the officials don't get control of the ball game, when they allow that stuff to happen, and it's been happening all season long. All season long. It's not just this game. It's been happening all season long. This is what happens, right? This is what happens. You've got competitive women who are the best in the world at what they do, right? And when you allow them to play physical and you allow these things to happen, they're going to compete. And they're going to have their teammates' backs. It's exactly what you expect, right, out of fierce competition. So I started talking to the officials in the first quarter, and we knew this was going to happen. You could tell it was going to happen. So they got to get control of it. They got to be better. They got to be better.
Let me plead the fifth on this one. I don't watch enough WNBA games to argue about the officiating. I can't. I could talk about the NBA officiating. Boccia, do you see enough WNBA to talk about the refs?
No, I can't really be an expert on this, but I'd assume it's like any other basketball game.
I don't know. I don't know about that, man.
Why not? Isn't it the same business company that has their like roster of refs, they send it to certain games. Wouldn't that not be right?
No, that is not right. There are levels to officiating basketball. And so people who are currently officiating WNBA games, they aspire to be officiating in the NBA. The other element to it is there's a difference in size, speed, and physicality of the men's game that I don't think I'm given groundbreaking news that exists in the NBA that doesn't exist in the WNBA. And so we could talk about just how, as a baseline, it is difficult to officiate anything because people are humans. I don't care if you're doing a high school football game or you're doing an NFL game. It's impossible. But there's a reason why when you get to the top levels, things get even more difficult. So, yeah, humans are humans at every level. People are going to screw things up and make mistakes. It's going to happen. But I would not say that it's similar in that regard. It's just a completely different thing. You got when a 6'9 woman flies from the free throw line on a putback and has to make a determination on a call like that, then maybe so. But that's what's happening in the NBA. We got Dexter Henry here. Dex, have you seen enough WNBA?
Oh, yeah. Because I do a lot covering the Liberty. So, yeah.
Do the refs suck?
No. I think the officiating is pretty solid across the board. I do think where some people are a little surprised sometimes is how physical the game is. Now, that game last night, though, JR, that was out of control. So I don't disagree with Stephanie White's comments on there. However, you know, when you listen to her, you listen to Caitlin, they want to play. They're not backing down from this. I think what's annoyed me in the conversation has been the people that feel the need to protect Caitlin Clark, who isn't asking for that. She's like, you saw last night. She backed up her talk. Now, again, that shouldn't have happened by Marina Mabry. She should have been ejected. Absolutely, positively. But, look, I think people who were stunned by this sometimes, not you, JR, but other people who were stunned by that, I'm like, the W is pretty physical, man, and they let them play physical. It's not the same as the men. I hear your point. But it is a pretty physical league, and so I'm not surprised at his physicality.
Yeah, well, I think part of the reason why it's so physical is that they're not playing above the rim.
Yeah, it's a different basketball. Good point.
When you are on the ground and you can't go vertical,
mm-hmm.
like the space is limited.
Yeah.
Without a shot of a doubt.
So. Yeah. No doubt. It's a good point because it is different to your point in that regard. But I think for people who maybe are just new to the W, you will see more physicality because of what JR just said. The game is below the rim. It's more fundamentals. There's more spacing in the game than before. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a very physical game. These ladies play very physical.
Yeah, shout-outs to all. Hey, no, I'm glad that we're even talking about this.
Same.
It's a brand new world. I'm here for it. I need Caitlin Clark to be beefing with another guard. I need that.
I like it. I like it, man. I think that stuff's good for game. Not the over-aggression, but I like that. I like the back and forth talk. We like this in all our sports.
It should be embraced. Nothing wrong with a little bit of a healthy competition.
Mm-hmm.
See if we get more of it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history before we wrap things up. But right now, you just heard his voice. It's time for a news flash with Dexter Henry.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we talked about a lot. It's been a busy show. The Los Angeles Lakers being sold for $10 billion. Jair Alexander, now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. We talked about Caitlin Clark. And people standing up for her last night. Damn, we found out Shedeur Sanders was going like 100 and a 50, 60. Zach Edey, he was going 100 and like a 55. He's facing a misdemeanor. Some wild stuff. Damn, a lot of speeding ass people. And Shedeur is one guy you don't want no trouble with. Hey, I give you a top six list. Some of the best sports cities in the United States of America. It's been a busy show. Talked about Halliburton, the fact that the Panthers, they won a championship last night, hoisting the Stanley Cup. Oklahoma City Thunder, they could do the same thing tomorrow. But tomorrow's the future. It's time to go back in the past. It's that time of the show where we look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything and it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Today is June 18th, 2025. We go back to June 18th, 1975. Bobby Orr from the Bruins. He won the Norris Trophy as the NHL's best defenseman for the eighth consecutive year. You could not get by this man. I want you to take a listen, courtesy of the NHL.
During the 1974-75 season, Boston Bruins defenseman Bobby Orr scored a career-high 46 goals and tallied 89 assists for a league-high 135 points.
When you sit on the bench and watch one of the greatest players to ever play in the league play to their capability, it's unreal.
On June 18, 1975, Orr was rewarded for his regular season success, capping his 9 years of dominance by winning his record 8th consecutive Norris Trophy.
It's great. I was thrilled to have been able to do that. But personal awards, you get there. How do you get there? You get there with a pretty good group of guys around you. And we had a great group around us.
June 18th, 1986, Don Sutton became the 19th pitcher to win 300 career games. At the time, he was pitching for the Angels. They went out there and beat the Texas Rangers 5-1. Sutton had a complete game, 3 hits, 3 strikeouts. Let's listen to him winning the game courtesy of MLB.
1-2 the count to Gary Ward, 2 outs in the ninth. He's 1 strike away from 300 victories. He went around and it's over.
That was nice. Yeah, 300 wins. Hey, June 18th, 1990. This is a big deal in golf. Hale Irwin. Okay, this man. He became, well, he was 45 years old. He was the oldest dude to win the U.S. Open. But how he did it was crazy. He made an 8-foot birdie on the 91st hole to beat Mike McDonald in the first sudden death playoff to decide the U.S. Open. Take a listen to this, courtesy of USGA.
It's great. A lot of emotion right now. A lot of tension. You know, Mike gave me a chance. God bless him. I almost wish he'd have won. He's a great guy, and I'm just having a hard time right now.
Oh, yeah, he was crying. Heartwarming. Makes my heart melt. June 18th, 2013. Prepare for a bang. Because Ray Allen, the Miami Heat, they were getting ready to be eliminated by the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs are playing in Miami. They put out the yellow ropes. LeBron James missed a three-pointer. But then Chris Bosh got the rebound. And with 5 seconds left, he gave the ball to Ray Allen. And, well, take a listen, courtesy of Mike Breen on ABC.
Should Miami go for the three right away?
Just attack the basket. James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Spurs do not have a timeout, but the officials are going to review to see if Allen was behind the line.
Yeah, Ray Allen hit that three, and all of a sudden, people were trying to get back in. No, y'all quit. Y'all thought the game was over, too. They're like, nah, you can't get back in. The Miami Heat ended up winning that game 6, 103-100. They forced the game 7, obviously, and then they won that game. Now, LeBron James's legacy would have been very different. They talk about LeBron's legacy all the time, but very different if they would have lost that series. June 18th, 2017, Diana Taurasi, she scored 19 points to break the WNBA's career scoring record. The Mercury won 90. Oh, damn it. No, they lost 90-59 to the Sparks. Damn, it's a lot of points. She passed Tina Thompson. Take a listen to this courtesy of the WNBA.
Taurasi fights through a screen. She's got the ball in her hands. She's standing at the corner of destiny and history. Taurasi for the record!
Candace Parker offering her congratulations immediately. And the whole building standing. Busloads of fans came over from Phoenix.
Yes, since so she passed Tina Thompson, who at the time or still has 7,488 points. Diana Taurasi today, as she just retired, 10,646 points. Tina Charles, 7,884. Tina Charles is still out here balling. And then Dawana Bonner is third, 7,446. Dawana Bonner, now a teammate of Caitlin Clark's. Wow. Damn. Diana Taurasi. Now, thank God she's done. Like, how many more Olympic gold medals do you need? She got like 6 of them things. She took one away from Caitlin Clark, if you ask me. Anyway. Yeah, those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. What a day, what a day. What a show, what a show. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I think I have an idea. I think we're going to crown a new NBA champ. I think Oklahoma City is going to take care of the Indiana Pacers at home. and they're going to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy the same way that last night the Florida Panthers went out there and hoisted the Stanley Cup trophy. And just, I think, a little different. I don't think the Larry O'Brien trophy is going to end up with a dent and a hole in it in less than 24 hours. We'll see. You can't drink out of the Larry O'Brien. Good stuff. Talked about that. The Lakers sale. Jair Alexander, top six list of best sports cities in America. And so if you've missed a minute, if you called me and you want to hear yourself, you want to send it to your friends, you can do all of that too. You can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Okay? I'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Yeah, use your brain. And maybe the Indiana Pacers will use their brains tomorrow when it comes down to, Tyrese Haliburton. He's going to play even if he's the world's biggest decoy. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Do the world a favor. Don't drive 101 miles per hour like Shador. Don't drive 101 miles per hour like that 7'4" man in a Kia Sorento, Zach Eady. Please be safe, be well, be amazing. Don't move here on the Infinity Sports Network. Bart Winkler is coming up next. The JR Sport Re-Show is done. Thank you so much to our producer, Ryan Botcher. Be well, folks.